From one perspective, one could say the conservative movement destroyed the old right in America. But a more accurate and typical way of describing these events would be to say that the new right replaced the old one, incorporating many of its members in the process. Indeed, that is precisely why we refer to the rise of the new right in the 1970s and early 1980s. Similarly, when a new generation of leftists asserted themselves in the 1960s via such organizations as the Students for a Democratic Society, we called these activists the new left because they had edged aside the old left, who were their elders and, in many cases, their actual parents. In time, the new left and the new right took over their respective parties, the Democrats in 1972, the Republicans in 1980, and today they are simply the left and the right. Likewise, the Nazis did indeed take over, and not merely destroy, the German left. Historians in recent years have revisited the once settled question of who supported the Nazis. Ideological biases once required that the ruling classes and the bourgeoisie be cast as the villains, while the lower classes, the proletariat and the unemployed, be seen as supporting the communists and or the liberal social democrats. After all, if the left is the voice for the poor, the powerless, and the exploited, it would be terribly inconvenient for those segments of society to support fascists and right-wingers, particularly if Marxist theory requires that the downtrodden be left-wing in their orientation. That's pretty much gone out the window. While there's a big debate about how much of the working and lower classes supported the Nazis, it is now largely settled that very significant chunks of both constituted the Nazi base. Nazism and fascism were both popular movements with support from every stratum of society. Meanwhile, the contention that industrialists and other fat cats were pulling Hitler's strings from behind the scenes has also been banished to the province of aging Marxists, nostalgic for paradigms lost. It's true that Hitler eventually received support from German industry, but it came late and generally tended to follow his successes rather than fund them. But the notion, grounded in Marx's gospel, that fascism or Nazism was the fighting arm of capitalist reaction crashed with the Berlin Wall. Indeed, the very notion that corporations are inherently right-wing is itself an ideological vestige of earlier times, as I discuss in a subsequent chapter on economics. In Germany, the aristocracy and business elite were generally repulsed by Hitler and the Nazis. But when Hitler demonstrated that he wasn't going away, these same elites decided it would be wise to put down some insurance money on the upstarts. This may be reprehensible, but these decisions weren't driven by anything like an ideological alliance between capitalism and Nazism. Corporations in Germany, like their counterparts today, tended to be opportunistic, not ideological.